here a little bit early for next week's episode, which we're actually releasing this week, because we're here to preview the NBA playoffs, and the playoffs are starting on Saturday. We could not have this as our episode on Monday because we didn't know whether the final spot would be going to the Denver Nuggets or the Minnesota Timberwolves. Akiva, did you watch the game last night?
I didn't. People said the quality of play was really, really low.
That's not accurate. Are you referring to like one article on Deadspin by somebody who doesn't
know?
No,
everyone was
basketball?
Saying the fourth quarter was really trash.
No, it was not trash. There was like a couple missed shots in the last 2 minutes. The fourth quarter was fine. It was a great game. The Timberwolves could not get a rebound to save their lives the whole game. So that was annoying. But I was watching with a group of people who none of whom seemed to have watched a basketball game in the last like 6 years. So that was interesting. But or maybe I just like I'm too much of a basketball nerd. That's also possible. But in that vein, we've brought another basketball nerd on to discuss, because you openly don't care about the playoffs until the finals as a Spurs fan, and the Spurs aren't going to be there, so you're probably not even going to watch much of the playoffs this year. So we brought someone who will. Our guest is Jared Jerome. For those who don't know him, he is a frequent call-in on WFAN. Jared, welcome back to the podcast.
Wait a minute, guys. I thought this was a baseball podcast. Aren't the Mets 10-1? Can we go? Can we just switch things and go to that straight up? I did not prepare for the NBA. My team stinks. I'm ready to talk baseball. Let's go. 10-1 Mets.
Who's your team?
Byron Buxton.
Who's your team? The Knicks?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Can you hear my voice? Which team do you think I root
for? As if anybody with that accent could root for anybody else. I guess you could be a Nets fan in theory.
Nah, there's no Nets fans.
I think we like to see that Jared, he makes us sound like we're both like the waspiest guys on earth. Jared sounds like he just woke up from like an 1884 shtetl in Poland.
No, he has a New York accent.
But actually, if you like see pictures of him.
Wait, what are you talking about? He doesn't have a Yiddish accent or a European accent. He has a New York accent.
No, it's pretty like Yiddishy. It's like if the Yiddish people spoke.
Akiva's problem, as was exposed repeatedly on the Jewish Foods podcast, is Akiva's so far in the Jewish world, he's not even aware of what things are Jewish.
Getting ridiculous. I mean, I agree with you guys.
Yeah. Jared's actually a good-looking guy. Like, he's a normal-looking guy. Doesn't look at all like you'd think. You'd think he would be like 350 pounds, very pasty. He's actually
that's
like,
anti-Semitic.
He's not pasty and he's not 350 pounds. But so his voice does not match his
so
body
if you sound Jewish, you're hideous. That's your summary.
No, it's your voice in particular.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Like, I'm the opposite. People say like. My arch nemesis, Jennifer Gonick, once used to say like, oh, Akiva, he has a very attractive voice. And then she's met me a bunch of times and she's never followed up on that.
You want her to ask you out on a date?
It's the opposite.
Jared, why don't you start out? You had a very entertaining post on the Facebook page
for fans
yesterday. Akiva, did you read that?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, so basically, Jared and some others are mad at me for my rankings, the quality and integrity of some of my rankings of various shenanigans, such as when I was ranking cities yesterday. So, Jared, why don't you read the long post that you posted yesterday?
Wait, hold on. I don't have it in front of me. Let me just give a little background to this. I don't know if I'm going to give a... I would have to switch like a British accent and everything, give a dramatic reading. But the background here, the gist of the whole thing is... The worst take that Mr. Chester has ever had is this idea that he can rank things subjectively that he's never seen. That he can rank 18 Coen Brothers movies if he's only seen 3 of them, or 6 of them, or 12 of them, just because... I don't know what because of. He just can just put... Because everything has to be complete, he has to give the full ranking of all 18 Coen Brothers movies. So me and a few other guys are giving him a hard time about it, and we're going back and forth, and there's been a few different things where this has come, ranking all the Israeli cities, ranking all the the books of the Talmud, all this kind of stuff that he doesn't have expertise on. And, you know, the ranking purists among us have a big problem with it. But then I started, so we're going back and forth, we're arguing, and I started to feel bad. I said, this poor guy has been ranking and charting things more than anyone ever, and that's not an exaggeration, for the last 30 years. He has 80 billion rankings and things, and here are a bunch of nobodies like me who have never ranked anything are giving him a hard time on how he ranks. So it's wrong, but I feel terrible doing it. So I sort of wrote like a little mea culpa in a story, but I don't have it open in front of me. So if you want to read it, you could do it. I don't want to mess up this thing because, as I said before, I don't have a clue what I'm doing over here. I don't have a Facebook account, so I can't open it on my computer, etc. But yeah, I wrote something and basically apologizing for questioning his ranking. Just let the guy rank. Let the guy chart. Let him do it. It doesn't make any sense. He's ranking things he's never seen. But you know what? That's his shtick. Let him do it. So that's where I stand now. Hello? What the hell?
All right, Akiva. So we had a guest momentarily. He was recording from like a Starbucks deep in Jersey. So we lost Jared. So we're going to preview the NBA playoffs. Just you and me. Just the two of us. The way it was meant to be.
God did not want a third wheel on this podcast.
Yeah. Well, you were in the third wheel because Jared and I are avid NBA fans.
It's insane. I would say of the three of us NBA fandom, I would say me one, you two, Jared three. I'm a much bigger basketball fan than you.
You don't even watch the playoffs. This is so categorically false.
Third wheel. I'm like the third wheel in your marriage. And I want to let her know that, like, she's the third wheel in her marriage.
Yeah, that's what your son said also about you, or your daughter, one of your kids. And you got all offended inside it. All right, so let's jump right into this. All right, I had said online the other day that there's really only one series that mm-hmm. matters in these playoffs, and that's Houston against Golden State in the Western Conference Finals. We need to have a bet here. You've been on quite a losing streak with our bets. You finally won one, which was the NHL one, and you lost the NBA one as well. So we're going to do what we did in past years, which is we're going to predict the outcome of each series, not just the winner, but the number of games. And if you get it exactly right, you get 5 points. And for every game off, you lose a point. So we're going to start with my beloved Timberwolves, finally in the playoffs after 14 years. They're going to play Houston. If they had won one more game, right, just one more game, if they would have won one more game, they'd be hosting... they'd be a 4 seed at home to start the playoffs. But instead, they're the 8 seed because everybody, the 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 in the West, they're all separated by just 2 games, which is crazy. And so Timberwolves are playing Houston. My prediction is that they lose in 4. They're going to get swept. Houston's ridiculous. The Wolves have a chance if Houston doesn't hit their shots one game. But I'm saying
it's
Houston
tough to, we're in a pool where you need to predict, like, basically how many games each team is going to win. And in terms of, like, the teams that you think are going to lose, like, the Wizards and like the Wolves and like the Spurs, like it makes you think, like, all right, who's getting swept? And to me, I didn't pick the Wolves as one, but it's hard to, a lot of teams have an argument that they could in theory win, whereas the Wolves don't have an argument. There's no chance the Wolves are beating the Rockets. So that's.
And with Butler, the Wolves are a 52-53 win team. Problem is that, like, Houston is the one team, like, the Timberwolves won the season series against every other team in the playoffs in the West, against New Orleans, against Portland, they either tied or won, against New Orleans, Portland, Oklahoma City, Utah, everybody, Denver, obviously, but Houston is just, they are like kryptonite to this Timberwolves team. So what's your prediction?
Are you gonna give Rockets in win, 4. 2 wins? I agree, the Wolves are a good team, but this, they're playing a 1 seed.
But if that's the case, why are you not taking the
Minnesota? Well, I'm just stupid, and I picked it too quickly. I could change it, but I'm too lazy.
All right, okay. All right. Now let's go to your beloved team facing Golden State the way they did in the Western Conference Finals last year without Kawhi, as they did in the Western Conference Finals last year. Is there any chance Kawhi's coming back in the playoffs?
There's no chance.
Okay. All right. Is there any chance the Spurs
not without Kawhi? I mean, with him, there's no chance the Warriors beat the Spurs. But with a healthy Kawhi, which, it would take time to get into. We would have swept them last year. We were beating them by 25 when Kawhi got hurt. I thought it ruined the season, but in reality, it ruined the franchise.
All right. Also, Steph Curry's not playing in this series, obviously. Not that really matters against your team. I'm going to say Golden State in 5.
Do you know I started watching the Spurs in 1989? I started rooting for the Spurs.
Yeah,
this is the second time that they did not come first or second in their division. I believe this is the second worst regular season they've ever had, the 7th seed. right? Because they missed the playoffs once, and they've never been the eighth seed. I don't think they've ever been the seventh seed before. They were the sixth once when they again also lost to New Orleans on the last game of the season. Warriors in four. The Warriors are sweeping the Spurs. The Spurs could not get any offense going when last game because New Orleans was actually playing defense. The Aldridge's stuff.
Yeah, but they also won the game by 14 points. Oh, no. The Spurs beat the Warriors.
The Warriors weren't trying for the last month.
Yes.
Aldridge's stuff, more than any other good player, does not
work. They were trying unless everybody was injured.
Teams do not defend the long two. Teams barely defend in the regular season in the NBA. Teams do not defend the long two. And Aldridge shoots the mid-range and long twos, and Parker does, and teams do not defend them. The Spurs shoot the most long twos, or among the most long twos in the league. And when teams actually crack down, especially in the second half of playoff games, the Spurs have no options offensively.
Yeah.
Who's the Spurs' second-best player this year?
All right, so let's get to the two.
Yeah.
After Aldridge?
Probably DeJounte Murray. It's almost definitely DeJounte.
I mean, that's what I was going to say, but that's
but it definitely is.
Silly.
I mean, Pau had a lot of really good games. His defense has slipped, but Pau, you know, gave him good minutes, but he doesn't even start half the time, and he doesn't play a lot of minutes.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I think Kyle Anderson has an argument.
I mean, I'll be like, if this was a healthy team, you could argue Kyle Anderson doesn't get on the court. You know, Rudy Gay's been out playing him the last 6 weeks. Gay's actually played really well. Ginobili's given them some good minutes. But again, these guys, this stuff only works. It's like the Billy Bean. It only works in the regular season. Playoffs, they're on their own. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So let's jump to this 3-6 matchup we have, which is a matchup, the first matchup that I think has some potential. Portland hosting New Orleans. These are two teams that were on a tear for most of the second half of the season, but Portland cooled off a little in the last week or so. Let's start with New Orleans. You know, after Boogie went down, everyone said their season was over. And, of course, the unibrow put up like
MVP. Wow, you're so formal. You call him the unibrow?
It's all the other. Sorry, brow. But the interesting thing to me is all these other pieces. Like, Jrue Holiday has played at a borderline all-star level for a while. Etuan Moore has had a career year. Nikola Mirotic. So, for those who remember the Bulls, like, you know, several years ago, Mirotic would always be much better in the playoffs than the regular season. And then the next year, he'd revert back to sort of mediocre regular season-ness. And here he is. He starts the season in Chicago. He gets punched in the face. He ends up getting traded to New Orleans. Have you seen his numbers the last two or three weeks? Yeah, he's been putting up like 22-10, like all-star numbers. Rajon Rondo has also played really, really well. So this team has a lot of pieces. What's your take on what we've seen from the Pelicans?
They're scary. I did not want to play them. I knew that they beat the Spurs that last game of the season. You know, Davis is going to be the best player on the court in this series.
The Timberwolves swept them. So, the games that
probably put Taj Gibson on him and to hound him all game and, you know, sort of chipped away at him. Certain teams are just horrible matchups for Orleans. And I think this is a horrible matchup for them.
But here's the thing. I think that Portland is a bad matchup for New Orleans.
Why? Because they can shoot threes in New Orleans.
They tied the season.
Isn't as good of a three-point shooting team.
Yeah, they tied the season series. But, you know, McCollum, who quietly has had a disappointing season, but him and Lillard, and it's not just them shooting threes. I mean, Alfred Aminu is shooting threes for this team. They're just going to shoot a lot from the outside. I don't really trust. I mean, Jrue Holiday's not gonna play defense at all, right?
No. I like the guys that don't even play defense in the playoffs.
So,
those are my type of guys. That's the type of player I would be.
All right, so I think I'm gonna pick Portland in five again. So, I don't have a lot of faith in New Orleans. What about
Portland
you?
Is an average offensive team, like according with advanced metrics and stuff. New Orleans to me is better than them. I'm going with New Orleans in seven.
Okay. So that's a big disagreement here, so that's good. All right, let's get to the 4-5 matchup.
Hello? Did I make on my back? All right, so I guess I have bad service. If it craps out again, I'll leave you guys alone. But for now,
I actually like the idea of him floating.
Yeah, well,
out
people
of the
have heard him say.
Deal with that.
Although maybe if he doesn't, like, I don't know. I don't know. He's done this a bunch of times. I don't know if the listeners have.
Because, yeah, he's going to share his audio file. Yeah.
What, I keep going in and
he's
out?
He's like a time traveler stuck in.
No, you've been out for the last.
Film.
All right. It is whatever it is. You know, when we hear him, he can talk, and then he'll share his file, and I'll let it. All right, so Jared, we're going to talk about the Oklahoma City Utah 4-5 match.
Oh, good.
So we've been talking about how different teams match up, you know, favorably or unfavorably for different teams. Utah, who's had the best record in the league for the past like 2 months, they've just been out of their minds. Of course, they lost last night in a game they needed to win to get the 3 seed. They are not a good matchup for the Thunder. I think Oklahoma City is winning the series relatively easily.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Oklahoma City is the kind of team that just has too much talent to lose to a team being led by a rookie and, you know, a defensive...
First of all, let's stop this. He's not being led by the rookie. Donovan Mitchell's like their fourth best player.
I know. You love Rudy Gobert, but I'm saying in a playoff series, when you need a guy to get baskets down the stretch, Rudy Gobert is not doing that for you. They're counting on Donovan Mitchell to get big buckets in ISO situations down the stretch. And I'm sorry, with Paul George and Russell Westbrook and... I'm not going to even go with Carmelo, but basically with those two guys alone, it's too much firepower for this young, up-and-coming Utah team that's well-coached and plays good defense and all that kind of stuff. But where are they going for a big basket down the stretch in a close game? Mitchell, but he's a rookie, and that's pretty much all they have. What, Joe Ingles is going to get tons of big baskets for him? He has to be set up for open threes.
Rubio's been putting up 18 points a game.
He's
been hitting threes, which he doesn't do.
Yeah, but you know Rubio as well as anybody. I mean, Rubio's not the kind of guy who's going to be creating for himself down the stretch in the last minute of a game.
Well, it doesn't always have to be ISO. Just, all right.
But you know how the playoffs, that's a big thing with me with the playoffs. That's usually how the end of these playoff games goes. You know, everyone plays their freewheeling system, whatever it is, and then when it comes to the last 5 minutes of a close game.
So you're saying if it's a close game in the last 2 minutes, Oklahoma City's yet. The question is, is it even going to be a close game in the last 2 minutes?
Well, generally speaking, Utah is not the type of team that's going to blow other teams out. So if it's not a close game, it'll be because Oklahoma City's blowing them out. I mean, again, anything could happen in any random game. But
what's interesting is that these teams have not faced each other this year, like in 2018. All four of their matchups were done by December. So Oklahoma City has not seen this new and improved Utah team, basically.
Well, I'm sure Billy Donovan's been burning the midnight oil game planning, though.
Yeah, that's a problem, too. The big coaching edge goes to Utah, for sure. But you just said you're picking OKC, no?
Yeah, I'm gonna take OKC in 6.
No, Utah in 6. OKC has no chance of winning the series. I'm being nice and giving them 2 games. First of all, how many minutes are they going to give Melo? Like, after they realize the first time they lose, like, oh, he's a problem because he doesn't play defense and he's useless.
They should be giving him 20
minutes.
There's
no way that's going to work.
He should be like a scorer on the second team.
Yeah, Melo should at this point should be like a microwave scorer coming off the bench for 20 minutes. And I hate to say that I'm a Melo fan. I'm a Knick fan, Melo fan, and I've always liked Melo, but he's flat done. The guy can't jump anymore. He has no lift, and he's not even shooting that well. I thought he'd at least go there as a third option and be a kind of guy who could, like, you know,
like
be a
was in the Olympics, for example.
Yeah, exactly, and be like a high efficient shooter and a spot up guy and a guy who draws a little bit of gravity because of his, you know, because of his name and because of his potential ability. But he's been an unmitigated disaster.
He shot 40% from
without
the
him.
And he shot 35% from three, which is like good for him, meaning he's shot like, you know, in the low 40s from twos, which means he's taking 20 footers all game.
Right. Well, that's what he's doing. There's no layups. And anytime he drives to the basket, he gets blocked. It's insane. Like, I have more lift than him. It's insane. It's really ridiculous. So that actually probably I don't know. I don't have the stats, but field goal percentage at the rim is probably like under 40%.
Yeah, Andre Roberson and Patrick
ridiculous.
Patterson's PR is pretty close to his, honestly. And Roberson played 39.
Yeah, he sucks. Yeah. It's over. I always thought he'd be the kind of guy who had like a gradual
Raymond
decline because of his shooting ability.
Raymond Felton had a higher PR. Raymond Felton played all 82 games for the Thunder.
Well, you know, you can't use PR for guys who play like not 9 minutes a game.
He played 17. I mean, the Thunder were the healthiest team in the league, basically. Their whole team played almost every game.
By the way, just to chip in, Carmelo's shooting percentage from 3 to 10 feet.
That's bad.
32%.
There you go.
I like
what
what's LeBron's?
About. I mean, he just
what's LeBron's
although
from 3 to 10?
Although for his career, he's 33%.
Oh, that's weird. So,
actually,
I guess because he never.
Carmelo's always been an absurdly overrated player. He's not good. When I always tell people that Andrew Wiggins is a poor man's Carmelo Anthony, that is as big an insult as I could possibly come up
Wait,
with.
Wait, Chester, be fair.
Carmelo Anthony's a poor man's
You can't
Carmelo
compare
Anthony.
Melo now in his 15th season to what Melo's been for his whole career. You can't wipe out his whole, you know, I mean, he
I'm
sucks now.
Out,
he hasn't
his
sucked his whole
percentage. Yeah, but my point is his career percentage is not much worse. Not
well,
much
I wonder.
By the way, the answer.
Yeah, go ahead.
The answer, by the way, surprising for LeBron, he's only at 38%.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say, what? Maybe that's just like, that's that awkward little teardrop distance, 3 to 10 feet. It's not layups and dunks. It's not jump shots. It's not threes. Maybe everybody shoots a low percentage there. I don't know.
But the difference is LeBron is 77% at the rim. Right.
Right. So this is the Melo stat that's gonna matter.
Yeah. Yeah, and Carmelo at the rim this year is 57.
There you go.
But again, that's almost his career average. His numbers, he's basically shooting at his career average this year. Where he's really struggling this year, actually, and is his long twos.
Right.
But his shooting
this
year
is pretty
much on par with
his
career average.
Best wing defender, where now he's getting the worst defender on the court, basically, and not doing it.
Yeah, so I don't get it. Yeah. I don't get it because Listen, you can't argue that he's been a great
and
scorer his whole career.
By the way, he's not exactly like ancient.
Yeah, but he's broke. He's breaking down. He's been breaking down for a few years. It's been very obvious.
I'm
going to
guess he doesn't
like
spend as much time with his body as LeBron, who's the same age.
Well, let's make a. This guy hasn't played 80 games since he was 21.
And he doesn't
years
have
old
playoff miles.
You know,
in
Melo's,
he's always missed games.
People think of Melo as this like unathletic, you know, like you know, old school style player, but in like Melo's first 8 or 9 years, he finished in the top 10 in total dunks every year. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean he's like jumping like Vince Carter, but the point is, he was a guy who attacked the rim, got to the in addition to his mid-range game and his posts and all that kind of stuff. He's a guy who got to the rim and flushed it on people a lot.
By the way, first 5 seasons, he was a top dunker, and then after his 5th season, it dropped off pretty precipitously. By the time he came to New York, he was never done. The most dunks he had in a season in New York was 34.
Oh, boy. I can't say anything. Yeah. I'm being fact-checked on the spot by this guy.
I got his basketball reference page open right here.
No, it's
all right,
good.
So that was a lot more Carmelo talk than I was expecting. Let's, Akiva, do you want
to
finish off
the Western
Conference, or should we go round by round?
Because
go
we
go
also haven't
East
had Jared's picks, so he could give us his opinion quickly also.
Yeah. Who I missed.
Well, we missed
when I was running around Starbucks frantically trying to find a hot spot.
Yeah. Again, that's Starbucks in Canarsie. The tech is pretty poor. We can barely hear right now, Jared. All right. So in the second round, Akiva, I have Houston against Oklahoma City. You have Houston against Utah.
Yeah. Whatever. Houston's winning in 5.
Well, so this is the difference, because Houston and Oklahoma City, as we even saw just last week, has been a great matchup all season. Oklahoma City, other than Golden State, is the one team that can actually play with Houston, I think. Now, obviously, they did not do so in the first
round. I think when the going gets serious, they're not
going
to play.
So if it's okay. Well, they're not going to, in your opinion. It was going to be Utah. So you have Houston beating Utah in 5.
In 5, right? Houston in 5, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I think I'm going to take Houston in 5 also over Oklahoma City. Although I think they'll be good games, and I think it'll be an interesting series.
Did you both have Houston over Minnesota in 4 or 5? What did you guys have in the first round?
Yeah, 4.
Yeah.
I mean, the Wolves will probably win 1, but I don't want to give it to them.
I mean, so. I know yet you're down on the Wolves and everything. I mean, it's a shame because the Wolves are such a talented team, and they have obviously whatever. We're not going to go through the whole thing, but yeah, I mean, it's a buzzsaw going into Houston, and I don't know. I'll give them a game. I'll say Houston in 5, and then in the second round, I'll say Houston over Oklahoma City in 6. I think Oklahoma City could put up a fight against them. Like I said, they're really talented. Houston plays a weird style that they have a game where they're off with their threes. They can be beaten. So I'll give Oklahoma City 2 games.
But the problem is it's so many guys. It's like, all right, so Ryan Anderson isn't hitting today. Okay, but we have 4 guys who are.
Yeah, you know, well, that's why they won like 66.
Like they're not relying on one shooter.
Yeah, that's why they won 65 games this year. But, yeah, but Oklahoma City's a good – and, again, playoffs, things tighten up. D'Antoni's history in the playoffs, maybe we'll get to that a little later. So I definitely think Oklahoma City could win a couple games in that series.
All right, so then we have Golden State against, in my opinion, Portland, and McKee's opinion, New Orleans. By this time, Steph Curry's back. Everybody's back for Golden State. So I do not think Golden State has much of a problem at all. Key, what's your opinion?
Yeah, Golden State in four. They sweep them.
So yes, they sweep New Orleans, in your opinion. I will say this. We, you know, assuming it's Portland, which is what I'm assuming, we have seen Portland play Golden State well the last few years. You know, Lillard and McCollum can shoot the ball as well as Curry and Clay. Obviously, Kevin Durant is sort of a slight advantage on the other side. So I think Golden State will stretch it. I'm going to say Portland will stretch it. I'll
ask yourself
this
question. If Curry's back and healthy, would the Blazers beating the Warriors be the biggest upset in the last, like, 5 years in the NBA playoffs? Yeah, it would be. That's why it's not happening.
In the last 5 years? I mean, how long ago was Dirk?
It's not happening. 7 years the Blazers are not beating the Warriors unless the Warriors have two finals.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So then the only series we knew was coming down to this Houston against Golden State. Hopefully by that point, everybody's healthy, including Luke Richard Mbamute, who's out in the first round for Houston. So nobody really cares. And Steph Curry, obviously. I say this is going to be a barn burner of a series, and I'm giving it to the Houston Rockets in game seven at home.
Wow. Yeah, I've got Warriors in seven.
So I think Golden State wins.
I mean, if you want me to pick Golden State in six, I would consider it too, but I think Golden State's winning. I think we haven't seen Golden State lose yet. Like, let someone take the crown from them. The coaching matchup is a ludicrous mismatch. Warriors bench stinks, but the Warriors bench does not matter that much in the playoffs when you have three days between a lot of games, and you know the good players are going to be playing 38 to 40 minutes. It's much less relevant.
So Houston's depth is, yeah. Well, what about you, Jared? What's your take on this Western?
Yeah, can I give you a quick little thing on the whole bracket?
No,
first of all,
no,
I feel like it's time.
You cannot give us a quick little thing on the bracket.
Yeah, your internet went out for 20 minutes.
Oh, it's about to go out in another minute, so give me my moment of glory, all right? Quickly, I think New Orleans beats Portland because it's time for Anthony Davis to win a playoff series. They've been overperforming shockingly once Cousins went down all year. So I have them, I don't know, winning in seven, and then Golden State's going to blow them away. Now, are we sure Curry's going to be back for the second round? That's not you said that as a guarantee. I'm not sure
that's
a guarantee.
Sure, but they
that's
only need him back
deal.
For the conference finals, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they're going to...
Well, and if New Orleans takes them to seven games, it's also an extra couple days.
True. Well, I'll put it this way.
Part of the reason I have Portland taking it to six games is I think there's a chance that Curry misses one of the first games.
Right.
Series.
Oh, I didn't hear that you had them. Okay.
Or isn't 100%.
Right. So I would say if Curry's not 100%, it'll be five. If Curry's 100%, it's four in terms of Golden State over New Orleans or Portland. Portland is kind of like Golden State light. You look at the backcourt, like Lillard is basically a replica of Curry, just like not as good, but like everything is he shoots those deep threes. He's like can get on fire. He's like... I mean, he's a very great ball handler, very similar player. Curry's obviously a more efficient shooter, but he's not that much better.
So then
better.
Is McCollum
there,
Thompson, and then
hater,
who's their Durant, and who's their Draymond?
Well, that's it. Then they run out. That's like the problem. Yeah. So that's why they lose. That's why they get killed. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Nurkic has been very good for them, and Alfred Camino has been very good for them. I mean, they have a lot of...
They have a lot of rangy, long, athletic bodies that they could throw at guys like Durant. They're not as good as Durant, but guys to defend Durant and pester Durant and bother Durant a little bit. So they're actually not a bad matchup. I mean, I have them losing to New Orleans, so it's all irrelevant in my mind. Not that I'm going to be right anyway, but... I think it's an. It's not a great. So wait, what did you guys have? Golden State over Portland. What was your?
Well, Kiva has Golden State over New Orleans in four. I have Golden State over Portland in
six. Yeah, that makes sense because I think Portland could play them pretty well, but New Orleans can't. They'll definitely blow out New Orleans. I agree. And then we talked this a little bit. I mean, Golden State, it's very tempting to pick Houston over Golden State. They're the hot team. They're the number one seed. All the narratives and everything, but. I remember back being a Knicks fan back in the 90s. This is the year the Knicks are going to beat the Bulls. This is the year that finally... No, the better team wins. That's what happens. Like, the superstar team almost always wins. Golden State's going to get their shit together. They're going to get it together when they need to, assuming everybody's healthy. And, you know...
But why are you calling them the superstar team when Houston has been like 40-3 this year when their big three are all fine?
Because Golden State didn't try this year, okay? Golden State's been... They're not into it this year. It's the same Golden State team as last year. It's the same team that literally... That went 16-1 in the finals, probably could have gone 16-0. They weren't trying this year. I mean, when they turn the screws and like everyone's playing out of their mind, and Draymond's playing crazy, and Durant's playing on both ends like a maniac, and Curry, if he's back healthy, that's a big if. I mean, this whole thing changes against Houston if Curry's not 100%. But if Curry's 100% and they're rocking and rolling, I'm not saying Houston can't win a game. Houston will have a game where they're on fire from three, and everything's going well, and Harden has one of his games where he gets 23 free throw attempts because of the ridiculous ref calls and everything like that. They'll win two games. I would say Golden State in six, but Golden State's still a better team. What? Suddenly now, it went from no chance that Golden State has anyone even coming close to beating them, and now it's silly to think that Golden State's going to turn it up in the playoffs. I mean, yeah, I'm not even saying it's possible, but I'd be pretty surprised with Golden State, and that's what history tells us.
I mean, you say nobody had any chance. Kiva's convinced that the Spurs would have beaten them last year if Kawhi doesn't get injured.
Well, that was weird. I mean, that first game was weird. I don't know what was going on with them blowing
what
them out
was,
like
oh,
that.
You, why was the much better team blowing out the Warriors? I don't know. I wonder why they beat them by 30 in Golden State during the regular season right. Also when Golden State out all their guys.
Is Kawhi coming back at all? What's the deal with
that?
What's your insider information?
He'll be on the Spurs in 2018, 2019, but not this year.
So I assume you both agree Golden State in four and no game is within 20.
Oh, no, not
20,
even close.
Right?
Yeah, no, they have no chance of coming close in any of those games.
What Popovich did with a bunch of old farts like this is a miracle. I have no idea.
I mean, it's not a great
conference. This team has made the playoffs 41 seasons.
He's running circles around, like, legitimate morons like Tibbs and Donovan. And, like, it's not like he's coaching up.
Oh, you're being serious that it's not a good – let's say he was in the East. He would have won 70 games?
The Spurs probably would have gone like 68 and 14 in the East. I don't know. I
how does he do it?
So,
Gasol was done
so
6 years ago.
They, in the post-game press conference, they asked him like what you'd think would be a pretty innocuous question, what he thought about Andre Ingram. It was the night after Ingram had 19 before the game. And it's before the game, and he barely cared about the game even though it was important, so it wasn't like he was nervous. And he's like, you think I follow sports when I'm not here? Like, he didn't ask you for your opinion on freaking Colin Kaepernick. Like, or you know, like, what are the Patriots going to, you know, do? How are they going to replace Brady? Like, he asked him about another team in your conference. Like, a cool story about a guy who, you know, came out of the D League for 10 years and scored 19 points. And you're acting like these morons. Like, come on. He's either lying or he's stupid.
Yeah, it was a little condescending. No, but... It's not relevant for him to know that.
Cool
it's not
story.
Impacting his team or the playoff race or anything
like
that.
What are you talking about? Let me hear.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he was a bit of a jerk. I agree. All right, okay, let's jump to the East now. We're going to start with Toronto, Washington. John Wall has come back in the last couple weeks and has actually played very well. And these are teams that actually split in the regular season. And then, of course, we know also that Toronto, Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan turn into pumpkins in the playoffs every single year. So Toronto, Washington, Wall, at first glance, you're like, well, Toronto's the best team in the East. They're going to destroy this 500 Washington team that's been really bad, you know, for the last 2 months. I think this is going to be a really good series. I think this is at least going to six. There's an argument it could go to seven.
No, I think Toronto's going to win in six. People are getting a little too crazy about that. I mean,
that's what he just said.
No, but I don't think there's a. He said there's a chance it go to seven. I think we're leaning that way.
Okay,
we're at six,
okay.
But it's not like a close six. To me. People, first of all, a lot of these series, regular season series, were 2-2. There were very few dominant, like 4-0. Was there any 4-0s or even very few 3-1s of these eight matchups? Yeah,
well,
the Rockets
swept the Timberwolves.
Yeah,
that's it.
Rockets. Swept
yeah, you're right. Most
Golden
of them were
State
2
over
and
the,
2.
Golden State over San Antonio,
yeah.
I think, was 3-1.
Right. Oklahoma
yeah,
City
OKC
over
Utah
was 3-1.
Gobert was out for all those
and
games.
Believe it or not, Indiana over Cleveland.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Cleveland.
They did beat
it. Yeah, but that's irrelevant.
The Raptors are going to win in six.
I'm not a believer in the Raptors. But the question, the tricky thing about the Wizards is they're really two teams, right? The team with John Wall that's clearly much more talented, and then the team that kind of plays, you know, more of the free-flowing, you know, sharing the ball system with Beal.
With
Beal running
the tweeting John
right,
Wall.
And all that kind of stuff they went through. But listen, obviously I'm not the type of guy who says, oh, you're better without the good players, because generally you're not. I guess you did see a little bit with New Orleans. You did see it maybe a little bit with New Orleans this year. I'm not sure, but... the question is which team. I mean, if Washington can beat Toronto, I really think they can. I'm gonna say Toronto in seven. But Washington is really talented, basically as talented, if not more, than Toronto. As Alex said, you can't trust.
I wouldn't say more. Like after the top three players is a big drop off for Washington.
Yeah, but you still have what's the lefty wing? The guy from Kansas, Oubre.
Oubre,
who's a solid player. Yeah, but what's the Toronto has depth, but it's like what Pascal Siakam. I mean, do we know what this guy's going to do in a playoff series? I mean, you know, they're not deep either.
Well, forget about him. Do we know if Kyle Lowry or DeMar DeRozan can hit 40% of their
shots? Right. Well, that's where I was going next. I mean, those guys. That's probably one of those things that's like small sample size, but you know, Lowry doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who he's like a real bulldog, and doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who would, you know, crap out in a big spot. But he has. The reality is he has. They've had a few chances. Same with DeRozan, maybe to a little bit lesser of extent, but same idea. DeRozan did step up his game big this year. He started shooting three. You guys know he started shooting threes. He elevated his game. You know, that it's pretty impressive this deep into his career. People told him what he needed to do to be a real star in today's NBA, and suddenly, when he could never hit threes, he just learned how to start hitting threes at a decent clip. So it's a different team. They have all the advanced metrics with them and point differential and all that kind of stuff. They almost won 60 games. Having said all that, they'll squeak it out in seven.
Yeah. All right. So let's go to the 2-7 then. Boston against Milwaukee. This is the only upset I see in the first round. I think that I think it's gonna be really close, but I'm taking Milwaukee in seven.
I'm with you.
I think we've seen Jabari Parker and Eric Bledsoe, like all these secondary pieces after Giannis have you know, really improved.
I mean, Milwaukee should be better with the talent they have. I mean, Chris Middleton, Keith noted this a couple days ago, Chris Middleton is second in the NBA in minutes. He's a really good player. This is a guy who averaged 20, again, I might be not perfect here, but 25-5 with like 47% shooting and 40% from three. He's an efficient, good player. He's not a bad defender. They have Giannis, who's one of the top five players in the league. They have Jabari Parker coming back. They have it's a pretty good team. And Boston is nobody. Without Kyrie and without Hayward for the whole year, another masterful coaching job here. And that's really the only thing that worries me about, or the main thing that worries me about this series from Milwaukee's point of view. It's weird to say that for the 7 seed over a 2 seed, but Brad Stevens runs circles around whatever they have going down there in Milwaukee. So the coaching is the only thing that's really concerning. And if Brad Stevens pulls this off, it's all on Brad Stevens, because what do they have? Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Horford? I mean, what is that? They have a bunch of guys depth, you know, Rozier, whatever, but Milwaukee's a more talented team. Boston is not what their record is, and they've done it with smoke and mirrors all year. Kudos to them for doing it, just like last year, kudos to them. Obviously, there's something consistent here, a constant, and that's Brad Stevens, who's unbelievable. Even last year's team, to get the 1 seed with Isaiah Thomas, you know, 5'7" guy running around dominating the league, he's a master, and maybe that pulls out the first round for them, but I'll take a gamble and say, or I'll be more bold and say Milwaukee in 7 here.
Yeah, I think they still have enough to beat the Bucks, especially when you consider the coaching matchup. I like the Celtics in 6 here.
So winning on
the All right, let's get to the 3-6 matchup now. Philly, who's on the second longest winning streak in the league this year, which is kind of insane. And, you know, they leapfrog Cleveland, they get all the way up to the 3 seed. And they're facing a Miami team this Miami team is a really weird team. Their best player, Hassan Whiteside, doesn't really play anymore because he doesn't fit the way that the NBA is going right now. And so it's Goran Dragic and a bunch of, I mean, I don't know, Miami, I think, and this is also a team where you have to credit coaching because Miami's talent on the floor, now they only won 44 games in a garbage conference, so let's not go crazy. But Miami's talent on the floor does not strike me as a team that can make any kind of noise in the playoffs, but I think they could. I don't love this matchup for them, but I think they could have had a chance against Cleveland, though, actually, crazily.
Yeah, I mean, it really would have been an issue for LeBron. Boston. Because, obviously, he needs to dominate, and it would have just been a big, like, distraction in his head a lot. And that's, I think, how you beat LeBron.
Yeah, I mean, Miami's a weird team. I mean, they just, like you said, I mean, they don't have guys that scare you. But again, it's amazing how the same narrative keeps playing out where you wonder how a team was as good as they were. Then you look at the coach and suddenly it makes sense. I mean, listen, not to get off track with the Knicks again, but the Knicks just, you know, fired their coach. And I'm kind of like not with my friends. I'm talking about it this morning. Like, yeah, what's the difference? We've gone through 100 coaches already. It never makes a difference. But if you really land a special coach, it makes a huge difference in the NBA, certainly in the NFL too, but in the NBA it makes a really big difference, but it has to be a special guy, and I think Spoelstra, Stevens, and Popovich are the three, and maybe even Quinn, are the four special coaches in the NBA, and that's why Miami's even, you know, over 500 in my opinion. I mean, you look at the talent, they shouldn't be. Philly's on a roll, but they're not going to have Embiid for the first round, correct?
Yeah, so that's – I'm not sure when he's coming back. Now, they haven't needed him because Ilyasova and Bellinelli right. and all these guys right. and Saric have been playing out, and Covington. I mean, these guys have all played, like, you know, borderline right. all-stars right. during this winning right. streak.
Well, Saric has been good for most of the year. Covington's a perfect yeah. 3 and D guy for them, a perfect complement to the fact that they have a bunch of guys who can't shoot at all, that they have a 6'10" point guard who has taken zero – who has made 0 three-pointers on the year and is still dominating the games, and that they have a, you know, a 7'1" dominant center who does shoot threes but shoots them at 30%.
I mean, Simmons really is the second coming of Magic Johnson.
Except it's much incredible. More athletic. He's more athletic than Magic.
Well, because we're – well, yeah, but to be right. fair, like, we remember Magic in 1992. Like, Magic in 1982 was a lot more athletic.
Well, I'm not basing it on my memory because even from the early 90s, we yeah. barely remember. But I'm saying he was known as not being athletic. I mean, listen, I'm not knocking Magic here.
But nobody was
Simmons, right. So I guess he's the 2.0 version of Magic potentially. But yeah, you're right. It's insane. I mean, he's got incredible I compare him actually a little bit to LeBron. I mean, if you remember in LeBron's early days, he wasn't a good shooter, much better than Simmons, more athletic than Simmons.
Yeah, he was much better than Simmons.
More athletic than Simmons.
And he was stronger.
Stronger, right. So again, LeBron in my opinion is, you know, the second best player ever, and better than Jordan. So we can get into that.
Only second
time.
Best.
Yeah, so he stinks. But right, so I'm not saying he's as good as LeBron, but this is Simmons' rookie year. This is ridiculous what this guy's doing with no shot. An interesting thing is, like, teams know he has no shots. So they play like 5-6 feet off him. All it does is give this behemoth a head of steam, gives him space to attack the basket, and then he just with his length elevates over you. He finishes with both hands. Scary player. So I think they're gonna beat Miami even without Embiid. And if with Embiid, I think they'll kill him. So I don't think Miami has much of a chance. So here I go again pitching.
I'm gonna say in six games. You know, part of it is Embiid being gone, and you know it wouldn't shock me if the series went to seven because you know I do really respect Spoelstra. Key, what's your prediction for the series?
Sixers in five. I mean, they just have better players.
Okay. All right, so you don't care about Spoelstra. All right.
Yeah, they really. All right,
let's get to Cleveland,
really
Indiana.
Players. And we have
in Cleveland, Indiana. If we remember what happened last year when Cleveland, Indiana played each other in the first round,
yeah. Well, Cleveland just blew them away, no?
Yeah, they swept them.
Yeah,
now they were actually all close games. If
right,
they,
that's,
no,
right,
but
that's,
it wasn't
right that's right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, coming into the series, Cleveland was. People were saying a lot of the same stuff that they're saying about them now.
Yeah, but they were so much worse. They weren't the fourth.
Yeah, they were all very
year.
Close games. So, yeah, well, but the East is better this year. You know, Toronto's been better and ball. Anyway, the point is, I mean, the East is much better than it was last year. The point is that, but this year, Indiana's coming in with all, like, the love in the world. Oladipo is already beloved much more there than Paul George ever was. You know, he's a local boy, obviously, going to, you know, he's a Hoosier, and so that helps. But I think that much like last year, it's going to be a sweep. You know what? I'll give Indiana one game. Just to be a little bit conservative, but I think that Indiana has no chance at all in this series because playoff LeBron. LeBron offensively has been regular LeBron, but now he's going to do the same thing.
I mean, they're asking so much from him offensively. I just don't know if he could play, you know, 48 minutes of defense or even 24 minutes of defense. He would. Like, first of all, he's not going to be able to come off the court. There's no depth on this team. There's the number three option on this team could be like a guy who shouldn't be in the NBA probably on some of these nights.
Jordan
Rodney Hood's okay.
So, do you want to say that?
No. They have no chance of winning the series, but they're definitely winning games. They're not getting swept. The Cavs aren't good enough to win four in a row against anybody. Cavs in six,
guys. Guys, the reason LeBron was able to play 82 games in his 15th season for the first time in his career was because he literally played no defense this year, and that is not
going to
happen.
The point
is,
like, I don't know how much defense he's going to be able to play.
He's a different player. He's going to. He's a monster. He's a robot. I mean, what? He's been saving it up for the playoffs. All he cares about is winning rings. It's the only thing that matters.
If he only cared about the playoffs, he would
have
sat out games during the season and not stupidly played 82 games.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know why he did. That's a good point. But the reality is, I think he mitigated that by only playing one side of the floor.
I'm very happy with the fact that he played every game because, again, that's what Michael Jordan did every year of his career.
Right, right.
I don't like this rest of this shit.
Right.
So if LeBron wants to be the GOAT, and, you know, like, talent-wise, he's better than Jordan. But if he wants to have, like, the on-field resume, on-court resume of Jordan, he's got to play 82 games. He's got to play a little bit of defense.
What is that? I mean, that's absurd. Jordan took off two years to play baseball. If LeBron did that, like, can you imagine the Skip Bayless is the next day? Like, that's it's absurd that he has to play 82 because Jordan played 82. Jordan took 2 years off because
also it's a different. No, it's a different.
I got no problem with LeBron playing 72 games a year. I like that he plays 82.
Right. It's a different era. It's a different era. Everybody rests now, so you can't compare. You know that like Malone and
not everybody. Not the
team. Right. Yeah. Well, not Towns. Towns hasn't missed a game in his entire career. Right. As he played 82.
Or Wiggins or Taj this year.
Ridiculous. Well, that's on Tibbs because he's an idiot. But
The best part is last year, Zach LaVine only played half a season. I think he played like 46, 47 games, and then he had a season-ending injury. And yet, the Timberwolves starting five still had more minutes played together than any other than any other five-man lineup in the league.
Yeah.
Even though one of the guys literally played half a season.
Yeah, even if they have even if the guys stink in the starting lineup, they're still playing 42 minutes because in his head, if you start, you have to play 40 minutes.
When Butler was out, Belly was playing 38 minutes a game.
I don't know. He's like in a time warp or something, like what was happening to me before. I don't know. So, you know that, like, just a quick stat that Stockton and Malone basically played 82 games every game of their 17 or 18-year careers that they played together, except there's one season that Stockton played 66. I'm not sure why. And there was one season where Malone played 81. And the reason was because he basically elbowed Isaiah Thomas's head off on purpose and got suspended a game. If he did that today, he would have been basically thrown out of the league. Though, I mean, that's what guys did back then. It's unbelievable. And it's also because, you know why? Because big guys didn't have to run out to the three-point line and defend threes and run. It was a big guy. You planted your ass in the paint, and that's where you stayed. Now you have seven-footers running around the whole court like maniacs. Nobody can do that anymore. So, I mean, you know, that's why guys rest. And anyway, so that was LeBron's version of resting. On defense, he didn't run out and contest every three. He didn't, you know, help and hedge and all that kind of stuff, and he basically was lazy. He still put up 27-9. Nobody cares about it, basically. It's insane. Playing all 82 games. Playoff LeBron is a completely different animal. It is, I mean, he's going to blow this Oladipo team away. Give me a break. Cleveland in four.
In four. Wow, there we go. All right, so let's get to the second round. Toronto against Cleveland, the 1-4 matchup. This is where we see the playoff Toronto that we've come to love and expect. I say Cleveland wins this series. I'll say in six. I'll say they win it at home in the sixth game. But I don't even think it's that close.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I disagree. I just think that the Cavs aren't going to be able to stop the Raptors' offense at all. The Raptors have more depth. The Raptors have a good, really good bench. The Cavs have no bench.
So you have LeBron losing in the second round.
Yeah, and he's also going to – they're going to be down like 20 in the third quarter, and he's going to mail it in old school.
It's not nuts for Keith to say
this
that.
Is a bad
team.
If they got swept
they lost
by Indiana,
Kyrie Irving. They lost an incredible player.
Everything we're saying is just because LeBron is like a Superman.
Exactly. That's exactly true. They lost Kyrie Irving and essentially got nothing back. I mean, it's insane. I mean, how is this team even – how can we even think they're going to be the 59-23 Toronto team? It's because LeBron is out of his mind. I mean,
going to beat them. People don't talk about – the NBA is, like, almost overcovered now, and people don't – like, there should be, like, memes and like, nonstop coverage of, like, they traded Kyrie Irving for basically, like, Rodney Hood.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think the trade was good that they made mid-season. I think that definitely helps them a lot, and I think they're all going to play off each other and intensify the defense and everything like that once the playoffs roll around. But LeBron needs another guy to take some of the load off him when they need a big basket, and basically Kyrie's right at the top of the list when it comes to that kind of style of play, and now he definitely does not have that. I think they do have a lot of good role players. You know, you're making fun who's the third best player. It's true. Their third best player isn't a great player, but they have a lot of depth. They have a lot of versatility. They have guys who are with length, guys who can shoot threes. They basically built a team that really fits around LeBron really well, where he can, like, draw everybody in, play four out, a bunch of guys who can hit threes and defend and rebound. And, I mean, I know their defense has been horrible all year, but again, I think maybe they're all going to feed off LeBron's energy. You're telling me Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance aren't going to play like maniacs when they see LeBron playing like a maniac? I mean, they're all going to play with their butts off. And I think, you know, you're going to see a totally different team when they get to the playoffs. So I'll pick them over Toronto.
All right, Kiva, how many games is Toronto taking Cleveland down in? Seven. Okay, so, well, you said they had no chance.
I didn't say they had no chance.
Anything's possible.
Well, you said a minute ago, don't be surprised if Indiana sweeps them.
I said we shouldn't be surprised. Obviously, we wouldn't be surprised. But, like, Cleveland stinks. Let's not pretend that they're good. I know you said the Eastern Conference is better than last year. It's worse. Without Kyrie and without Gordon Hayward, the Eastern Conference is worse than last year.
Last year, nobody won 50 games. Boston won, okay, was the one season. It was more balanced last year.
The Eastern Conference is atrocious, unless you think Philly's great.
Okay. Toronto was much better than they were last year. Indiana's better than they were last year. Philadelphia's way
Sixers,
better than they were last
Boston,
year. Milwaukee's
Boston
better
and Cleveland,
than they were last year.
The two best teams are dramatically worse. Nobody is even...
No, hold on. Why is Boston dramatically worse? They don't have Kyrie.
Isaiah Thomas was amazing.
They didn't have Isaiah Thomas either after the first round last year.
All right.
But he didn't play after the first round.
All right, but
he got injured like 2 games in.
I mean, the Celtics were so much better last year, and nobody is even close to the level that those two teams were on.
Toronto's better than Cleveland was last year. Philadelphia's all. Toronto's won 15 games in a row. What are you smoking?
2018 Raptors versus the 2017 Cavs? No. Come on.
Based on the regular season, Toronto won 59 games. When's the last time any team in the East has won 59 games?
Keeve, according to the stats, I agree with you, but according to the stats, Toronto is a really good team. Like, they're not a joke. I mean, their point differential, all that, their defensive rating, their offensive rating, all that stuff is through the roof. I mean, any, like, analytics person has to be picking them because just based on that. I mean, the only way to pick against them is all the reasons I'm giving. Like, LeBron's going to play like a different player, and Lowry and DeRozan can't play in the playoffs. You have to use these kind of arguments, because if you go by the actual numbers, they're a great team. Yeah. They really are, believe it or not.
Yeah. All right, let's get to this other series. Okay, so Keith has Philly going to Boston, the injured Boston, whereas I have Boston, excuse me, well, I have Philly hosting Milwaukee. So, Keith, first tell us what's going to happen in the Philly-Boston.
Philly in five. Embiid's going to be back, just all the good players on the court are going to be on Philly's side. Like, you know, the team with the better player wins. Like, the Sixers have all the better players.
All right, so for me, it's going to be probably the most interesting Eastern Conference matchup, because Milwaukee against Philadelphia, these are the two teams
that would be an amazing matchup. That would be like such a the games will be so like rollicking.
I mean, yeah, you have Giannis and we also have Chris Middleton and Jabari Parker and Eric Bledsoe on one side and no coach. And then obviously you have Embiid and Simmons and everybody else in Philly. I think this is a really, really fun series. I mean, it's hard to as much as I love Giannis, I you have to assume Embiid's back by then, and he can play every game because, you know, you have at least 2 days of rest pretty much between every game and the playoffs just about. So I'm going to take Philly in six over Milwaukee.
Yeah, Milwaukee is very talented, but they're a mess. And that's why I have Philly over them. I mean, it's crazy to pick such a young team like this, and we don't even know about the health issues and everything like that. But they're super talented, and it's not just Embiid and
Milwaukee
Simmons.
Had a better win percentage against the East than the West this year, to show you how weird they are.
Yeah, they're a weird team. They're very talented.
Yeah, and I told the Timberwolves had a better winning percentage against the West.
The Cavs were
East,
15
like,
and
that's
15
even weirder.
Against the West. So they're 35 and 17 against the East, if you're betting against them like I am.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, anyway, I'll take Philly in six.
All right, so all three of us have Philly, this team whose over-under was like 42.5 before the season, and everybody took the under, except for me, I'm happy to say. And we all have them in the Eastern Conference Finals.
They're good. They're very talented, and they're on fire.
Than anything else.
Yeah. It's partially their draw. I mean, if Boston was healthy and had Kyrie, we wouldn't have
picked. It's exciting that they haven't lost the game since Embiid went down.
Which is weird, which is crazy.
All right, so let's get to the Eastern Conference Finals. So the Eastern Conference Finals for me is Cleveland against Philadelphia. For Akiva, it's Toronto against Philadelphia. So Akiva has a very new team. No matter Toronto against Philadelphia, that's what we saw once upon a time when it was Iverson against Vince Carter in like 2001.
That series went seven.
In the Eastern Conference Finals. Yeah, Vince Carter got his degree and they got criticized for it. Yeah.
He should have got a doctorate from dunking on Frederick Weiss.
No, the criticism was dumb. All right. Okay, so I am going to take Cleveland in five. Sorry. Cleveland is going to blow the doors off of Philly. We're going to see LeBron James is going to say to Ben Simmons, not yet, young fella. Kiva has Cleveland losing in the second round. I have them cruising into the finals because LeBron goes to the finals every year because that's what he does.
I feel in six. I just think, like, at a certain point, the Sixers are going to be able to clamp down. The Raptors are not going to be able to hit threes all game long. I mean, you just look at these teams. Like, wow. Philly is better than these teams.
You have Philly in the finals.
Is it a year too soon? Sure, but none of these teams are exciting. Boston, with just Kyrie, in my opinion, easily gets to the finals. Easily gets to the finals with just Kyrie. But and obviously with Kyrie and Hayward, it's a ludicrous route. But yeah.
Well, you said it yourself, right? Because these teams are such a mess, that's why LeBron comes out of the East, right? I mean, when everything is in disarray, when there's chaos,
but he hasn't always done it.
Remember,
they used to lose. They would lose to the Celtics.
Yeah, but that was what eight years ago, 9 years ago.
Then.
I mean,
not when
now
he
does it
by himself. Then he had the worst team ever. But I mean, he's got nobody now. Who are you relying on here? There's not going to be a J.R. Smith game.
I think he has a bunch of good role players.
There's not going to be, like, Love gets hot for a few games. None of this stuff is going to happen.
Yeah, let's not completely disregard Love. Love is still a good player. I mean, it's not like Love's a bad player. I mean, I know he has trouble guarding pick-and-roll defense and things like that. Love can score. Love is not a bad player. Love is a borderline star player he has with them. And then he has a lot of good role players around him. I mean, or at least solid role players who, as I said before, fit the system in the way that he likes to play. And when all hell is breaking loose in the East and Kyrie is down and Toronto we think is overrated and Philadelphia's oldest player is 22 years old, how do you not pick LeBron James? I mean, this of all years, I know he lost Kyrie, but you have to pick Kyrie. The Cleveland to go to the finals, in my opinion.
All right, so Jared and I are on one side, Keeve decidedly on the other side. By the way, Keeve, with you putting the Sixers in the finals, Scott Rubin is going to be on cloud nine. Scott, by the way, said to me in an email earlier today that he's hoping that his team and my team will meet in the NBA finals, and my reaction to that was similar to Elaine's. The idea of the Timberwolves in the finals was to Elaine's with the idea of George owning a house in the Hamptons. I said to him, that's not going to happen, and then I laughed, and I laughed. But you think the other half is going to happen, and that's not impossible. Look, I have Philly going to the conference finals. Let's get to the NBA finals. I have Houston against Cleveland. Akiva has Golden State against Philadelphia. And Jared has, splitting the baby, has Golden State against Cleveland.
Right.
So Jared has the rematch of every single year.
Yeah.
And a little bit boring. And Jared, we'll start with you. Obviously, LeBron has no chance.
Well, you say, just quickly, you say it's boring, but wouldn't you admit this is probably what you want to see the most? Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I feel like, what do you think about that?
Yeah, because I want to see the greatest ever, and I want to see it.
Right,
but,
right.
I mean, there's no, we know what's going to happen. He's going to lose.
Yeah.
We saw last year. Like, the fact they won 2 years ago is one of the great miracles.
They slowed it down. They played it to a grind. Like you said, it was a miracle. Kyrie had a few crazy games, and they won. That was insane. Yeah, they're going to get killed by Golden State. This year, they probably won't even win a game. Golden State in four.
Okay, so you guys are crazy. My matchup is the most interesting. Nobody wants to see LeBron against the Warriors for the 40th straight year. Cleveland-Houston would be interesting, but one team would win all four games by 30 points, so that wouldn't be interesting. Philly Golden State is fascinating. You've got the old vets versus, you know, the champs versus the contenders. It's like a boxing match. I think the Warriors win in six, but to me, this is the most exciting possible series. How could you root for, unless you're a Cavs fan or it's very important to you for LeBron to like get a third title and somehow, if LeBron wins a title with this team against what would either be Golden State or Houston, in my opinion, the debate is over, even though he'd only be at three titles.
Yeah. That's why I'm rooting for it. That's why I'm rooting for it.
If he could
shut these idiots up.
Jordan Clarkson to a championship in like a pretty solid, deep NBA, just shut it down.
He's not the greatest basketball player ever. He's the greatest football player ever also.
It would put him way above Brady. Way above.
Hold on. What would be more impressive? LeBron doing what we just said, or Shohei Ohtani pitching 180 innings of a 2 ERA with 40 home runs?
Ohtani would be more impressive.
Ohtani. Because we haven't seen it in 100
close
years.
To that,
so I mean, that's, you know.
Well, we've never seen LeBron. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Ohtani would basically be pulling like a 1918 Babe Ruth, more or less.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, I think Babe Ruth only 1 year was a full-time hitter and pitcher. He was a pitcher, then he switched to a hitter. Yeah. So, I mean, like, really, this is unfair.
Babe Ruth was hitting like 83 mile an hour.
Even that year, he wasn't full-time.
Probably.
Yeah, no, but
probably.
Babe Ruth last year as a pitcher, he led the league in home runs with like 11.
19, I think. I think it was maybe it might be right. Whatever. But yeah, yeah, LeBron. I mean, this will hopefully there'll still be people say, but Jordan won 6 rings and LeBron only has 4. I mean, like, no matter what, maybe if he goes 1-on-5, that ring is worth more than Jordan's rings. You know what I mean? I don't know what.
Yeah, like, if anybody, yeah, but the people who say that also apparently think that Robert Horry is a top 10 player all time because he is 6.
But then suddenly they have an answer for that. I've never really heard a good answer for why it isn't true. We've debated, Alex, a lot about Jordan and LeBron, and I hear you suddenly like very strong on LeBron's side. Up until this, you've always been more about Jordan. You said it's close, but you've always leaned Jordan. So what swayed it this year?
Well, hold on. It's when it comes to who is a more talented basketball player, it's obviously LeBron.
Right.
But again, that's part of how like the best player right now is going to be the best in everything because that's how human evolution works.
Right.
But when it comes to sort of career performance in the NBA. That's where I think it was close, and that's where the fact that Jordan, albeit took 2 seasons off, but every season he played all 82 games and was one of the best 2 players in the game, whereas LeBron, in the regular season, has not been a top 2 or 3 player for most of the last 3 or 4 years. It's not like he lost the MVPs undeservedly to Steph Curry 2 years in a row and then last year Westbrook. Like, he shouldn't have been in the debate for MVP.
He was right there. I mean, he's a legit first-team All-NBA guy every year, right? You're not debating that, right?
Yeah, but he was a distant 4th or 5th on the MVP ballot.
All right. I mean, you look at that more carefully than I do. He's been the best player in the league every year. I mean...
Yes. Oh, he's... Yes, he is... Yeah,
this is the coldest the take player. Of all
right,
time.
Right, but
when it comes to his actual performance...
Yeah, no...
All righty, so that's our...
We'll save that for you. We'll save that for an email.
Basketball preview. Anything else going on?
Well, hold on. So, Jared, so read your post now that you try to.
I can. I don't have it open, and I have like 1% left on my computer.
You do have it open.
I'm hanging by my ears, and like people are looking at me in Starbucks. I am gonna mess everything up. The last thing I'm doing is touching this computer. Somehow it's been on 1% for the last 30 minutes. I have no idea how. The last thing I'm doing is reading that stupid thing that I wrote.
Okay, so Akiva, you are the one who claims that you have the
but
great
I don't know.
Radio
you,
voice,
you
so why don't you read it for
me.
Jared?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh my god. I G-chatted it to you, when I sent it in the Zencaster, I sent it in WhatsApp, I sent it in every possible way
Folks, if they ever get to it, it's really
what
not that
Zencaster
good.
Zencaster we're in. It's not possible for me to have sent it to you in more avenues than I did.
Yeah, but I don't look at the chat of our
carrier pigeon
over to you. I'm busy paying attention to what you guys are saying and definitely not twittering.
Yeah, all right.
So I set it up to give it some meaning. I set it up before I crapped out the first time in terms of, like, here's this guy making charts and everything like that, and everybody's giving him a hard time about how he makes charts, and this poor guy's been, you know, you just said...
Don't summarize it. Let's
but people need background or it's not going to make any sense, right? So I'm saying here, for example, you just said on the last podcast, if I remember correctly, your kids actually went to sleep on your trip home from Israel, and like everybody else takes huge advantage and sleep for 12 hours straight. Kiev is famous for that, I remember from the Seinfeld podcast. And instead of sleeping, I don't know if you were joking or not, but you used a few hours of precious time to write more charts, okay? This is what this guy's been doing for the last 30 years. He is by far the number one chart expert in the world. And here he is writing his charts. Nobody's bothering him. He's having a good time, a jolly old time. And suddenly now, all us peons are giving him problems about how he's doing the chart, what his methodology is, this and that and the other. Anyway, now you can read it in a nice British accent.
And I don't know what you're talking about, but I'll read it quickly. The shame here, people were complaining, mostly Chester relatives were complaining about your charts. The shame here, Jared Jerome starts, or Jody Jerome, because you're too cool for Facebook, but not too cool to use your wife's Facebook account, which is a weird move. Why don't you at least switch it to the double account?
It shows how much I love 32 fans. I did it just so I can join the football pool.
Facebook account, but only make it 32 fans.
Yeah, again, if someone
you don't
shows
know how
me how
to make
it, I'll be
Facebook
happy to do
account?
It. I am so old. I do.
He's an 80-year-old man.
Listen, right, I got a Twitter account. Come on, I got a Twitter account.
The story of a young man, Alex Chester, an eccentric Midwesterner, who had spent the first 30 years of his life making charts day and night with nary a care in the world. One day, he's convinced against his will by podcast fiend the Akiva Wineker to start Humble Football Podcast so the two can share their thoughts and knowledge of their favorite sport with 3 or 4 of their closest friends. But... as the podcast grows, they come to the NFL season and content is needed. Alex remembers that he has more listened charts than...
Oh, my God. Akiva, can you read English?
What's wrong? Well, yeah, you, the like, boring words. Like I'm words. Editing it. I'm NFL using my editor's eye and taking out the dumb
stuff. Oh, you're editing it on the
Alex
fly.
Alex remembers that he has more listen charts than stars in the sky, than grains of sand in the desert. 32 Fans is unlimited podcast content. But the podcast grows in popularity largely due to the Chester charts. I would definitely disagree with that. And fans from all around the world beg and plead the once humble ranker for more charts, more lists, more analysis, more. Some of his most loyal supporters even hijack their wives' Facebook accounts, changing their very gender in search for more rang discussion. Akiva's over the moon as podcast career appears to be taking off. He might never have to leave the house again. Even if my podcast career, I feel like if it really took off, we'd have to like do like live shows, or I'd have to like do something about it, or like go to the bank and. But I'm saying I'd have to like do stuff.
So you might have to leave the house. So
I'd
basically,
have to, like, go to the bank and open up an account if I ever made
become a full
podcast thing. But alas,
I love how you make fun of me for not being able to do anything when with your situation.
But alas, we all know this tale.
Okay, go ahead, continue.
The tale is too good to be true. It couldn't last. Now the very fans for whom he slaves make charts, listen, rings in order to minutes time. I don't know.
Making them
to
order in minutes time.
Oh, making charts to order. Begin to call into question his chart-main criteria, a life's passion suddenly being held to the fire. Now, every chart has to match the specificity of each individual listener. The once peaceful life of spending 23 out of every 24 hours making charts that no one would ever see has become a methodological battle between geeks of the highest order. Well, this must stop. AB, let the man make his charts. Mr. Chester, sir, could you please send me a ranking of every golf course in the world from most to least aesthetically pleasing, but to my eye? All right, that's a good Facebook rant, but why am I reading this on the podcast?
I don't know. It wasn't
this
my
idea.
This is what happens when I don't produce the episode.
If someone else is in charge. You know how this episode started? Jared emailed both and is like, when's the NBA preview? And can I come on? We weren't even planning on doing one. And all the, like, I think he tricked us into doing this podcast so we can come on it. I don't know. I don't know what happened here.
All right, Jared, go back to your nice
I'm home. A Sven Jolly. I'm a Sven Jolly.
Another good Seinfeld reference to sign us off. All right, Akiva, so I will talk to you not next week because we need two podcasts this week. We're sitting out next week. This counts as next week's podcast.
Unless something happens. Maybe, I don't know. Like,
all right, if the Timberwolves beat the Rockets, we'll come back for an emergency.
Maybe what if Trump fires Mueller? And then they're like, oh, Chester's all fired up. He wants to talk politics next week.
I don't know. We'll see. All right, Keith. Jared, we'll talk to you guys.
Listen, good luck on the T-Wolves. I'm going to be rooting for them hard. So it's probably not going to work, but I got your back.
It's not going to matter. But yeah.
And thanks for bearing with me, guys. Thanks for bearing with me. It was fun.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye. We don't eat until your father's at the table. We don't drink until the devil's turned to dust. Never once has any man I've met been able to love. So if I were you, I'd have all a little trust. Two thousand years now, been in that water. 2,000 years, sunk like a stone. Desperately reaching for nets that the fishermen had thrown. I'm trying to find a little bit of rope. I was holding all of my secrets soft and hidden. Pages were folding and there was nothing at all. So if in the future I might need myself a savior, I remember what was written on that wall. We don't eat until your father's at the table. We don't drink until the devil's turned to dust. Never once has any man I've met been able to love.
So if I were you, I'd have a little trouble. Yeah.